Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer-Moffitt, CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business, and we're friends like my friend, Neely Piazza. Don't let friends feed kibble. What's up, Neels?
Oh, not much.
I got you. I don't have my sweater on today, my sweatshirt on. But yeah, I'm with Raw Dog Food and Company.
I outgrew mine.
You outgrew yours. That's not right. Hey, I had some questions. I think the questions about the mRNA vaccines, or, you know, if your animals are being vaccinated with the mRNA vaccine, I think that's died down a little, but I was listening to Dr.
Somebody
Cowan.
Asked me that yesterday, but go ahead.
So it didn't die. Well, I was listening to Dr. Cowan, and now I understand why you say it's not really a thing. And, but I can't really reiterate what he said, right?
I can't either. But basically, this was I subscribed to, Beyond Labels with Joel Salatin and Cena McCullough, and they do a podcast every week, right?
Nice.
I think I told you about this a long time ago, but, they looked into that about a year ago or so. Mm-hmm. And this is the easiest thing to say to kind of answer that particular question, because there's no way to, you know, there's no, like what Dr. Cowan says, that's hard to convince people of. But basically what they found out was that the quote mRNA vaccine has been around and in use in livestock for decades. And so it's just that it's like a trigger word now. And so people are freaking out about it, but it's been going on for decades. There's not anything new happening. It's not anything new. And, you know, you want to get right down to it. DNA and mRNA are not a thing anyway. And there's really, those are not any more dangerous than what you would consider a regular vaccine. I mean, they're all crap, but you can't, I mean, unless you're willing to pay, find an individual farmer and pay $20 to $30 a pound.
Like I said, I mean,
everybody knows how I feel about vaccines. I'm not in favor of it, but you know, there's some things you just can't do anything about.
Right. And the thing about it is that I don't know what the percentage is. I really don't know of our pet parents of how many have moved from a kibble based diet, a dry based diet, over to the raw, but are still, you know, doing the flea and tick, heartworm and vaccines. And so,
well, and that's the point too. I mean, a lot of these people that are worried about what the cows are getting are still vaccinating their dogs.
So, I know.
I mean, that how does that work?
Here's how I think it works in their minds. I don't know. This would be me assuming and not knowing, but I would assume that they're like, well, I can vaccinate if I clean up all this other stuff. And I contend that that's not true.
I agree with that. Definitely not true.
I think those are far more dangerous. You know, I was talking to a new customer today, and they don't listen to the podcast because they've just been introduced to us. But I think a lot of people are waking up, and I said, well, what's going on? She said, well, I got into it with my vet. I had a falling out with my vet. I said, why? She said, well, my dog was on raw. Not a pure raw, it was a commercial raw, like a Stella & Chewy's or something like that, a farmer's dog, yeah. Whatever. And the vet convinced her to go back to a kibble diet, to which she said, my dog just went downhill skin issues, ear issues. Then her vet put her on the typical antibiotics, to which I said, what was the bacteria that they found that they needed antibiotics for? They never know because they don't ask and the vets don't do it. So anyway, she said, I'm just done with the vet.
And, good for her.
And I was like, yeah, you're finally seeing. I said that there's no way that they are going to recommend a raw diet if you look around and they are selling pills, right? Or Royal Canin, yep, or any of those. They're not going to do it. They can't do it.
Yeah.
And so what's the natural progression? That food, then antibiotics, then the, you know, allergy meds, and then cancer, and then they can treat your dog for cancer. So it's just a vicious circle. And she saw it herself, you know, which was awesome. And then yeah, she had talked to one of our customers who said, you got to go talk to this company. So anyway, when I sent out to some of my neighbors who are still kibble feeders, right, who for whatever reason they think raw is too expensive or their dog can't eat raw or whatever, they, you know, I sent out the information about these top 13 blends or makers, right? Stella and Chewy's From, Taste of the Wild, Blue Buffalo, Rachel Ray, should have been taken out a long time ago. All of these ones, Heels, Royal Canin and Purina, all the ones that are having problems. And I don't think that even registers that. It doesn't register. It doesn't register. Yeah. And so I, you know,
it's like there's dogs eating this stuff that has been pretty much linked to the food that are not only sick, but dead.
Dead.
And people still feel safer with kibble than with raw, which, you know, sick is very rarely proven, and dead I don't think ever has been proven or shown or even suggested. I mean, it's, well, I don't understand the disconnect. You know, how is like ground up powdered dead crap sprayed with
additives, grease,
yeah,
synthetics,
so that the dog will actually eat it, because otherwise they
taste enhancers, right?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. How is that better than real food? And you know, most people that are even thinking about raw are fairly health conscious for themselves. You know, I had somebody, so you know, I started doing making bread and all that and fresh milled flour and whole grains and like legit whole grain stuff. And so I joined a couple of Facebook groups for that and for the coffee roasting too. And I swear I can't get away from this idiocy anywhere I go, because somebody said, well, I was just thinking, if fresh milled flour is so much better for people, why can't we give it to our fur babies? And I'm like, oh my God.
See, it's a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword.
I couldn't stop myself. So I said, no, don't give your dogs grain. And then somebody retorted back, you mean we can't make homemade treats for our dogs? I'm like, is your dog, do whatever you want. But
but if you want
grains diarrhea, are not an appropriate food for a dog. They're not the same as people. So I'm like, God, I can't get away from it anywhere.
It's overwhelming some days, Niels, in this business, when I think about how many dogs and cats are out there suffering because right, of the food that the pet parents have been marketed to feed.
And convinced to feed, yeah.
And it just kills me because we don't have a big enough voice. I mean, you know, there are some bigger voices out there than us for sure. You know, and
yeah, but most of them are sending the wrong message, but that's another story.
Yeah. But it's, yeah, it's troubling. It's troubling. And then, you know, people really, really worry on the raw diet, and they're constantly almost like some of them are walking, you know, around just waiting for another shoe to drop. on their dogs. And I'm like, how is it that an animal that was born to eat raw has so many issues with raw? I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense, does it?
It doesn't make any sense. And that's why I always encourage people to work with you, because you can dig through all that, right? If somebody asks us, what blend is better, the HVM or the PMRs for poops? I'm like, I have no idea until your dog starts eating it. Because
why do people obsess about poop?
They do. They do a lot. I get poop pictures.
I don't understand why.
Right. Right, because I think they're used to seeing kibble poop, and kibble poop seems normal, right? That really dark stuff that's kind of pancakey that never disintegrates into the earth. I mean, that appears normal.
And then you can smell all the way across the yard. When I was working at the kennel, I could tell there was poop on the ground before I could see it, because I could smell it.
Yeah, yeah. So that it's just what the world makes normal, right? It's nuts. It really is. You know, the one question that came up this week, Neely, and I think this person may have been on our new feeders webinar, but they really wanted to know, because, you know, we always say, and you specifically, don't go to the vet.
Right.
So their question is, how do I ensure that my pet is healthy, nothing's going to happen to him if I never go to the vet? So let's give him a step-by-step.
Well, that question doesn't even make any sense, because, I mean, how do you ensure that nothing's going to happen to your dog if you do go to the vet? That's when all the trouble starts. Ask anybody. Anybody that has a dog with any kind of issues, you can trace it back to going to the vet. I mean, if your dog gets hit by a car and has three broken legs, go to the emergency vet. I'm not saying that. But for general health,
Well, let's break that down. For general health, what are we talking about here? I mean, are we, when folks are worried about their animal, right? What are we trying to figure out? And that's the thing. So, are we trying to stave off cancer? Are we trying to see if there's a problem that we don't? This is what I think. I think that most people are saying, I want to make sure that I am on a problem immediately so it doesn't make a bigger problem. The problem here is that we see, just like what you said, the problem expands, just like this pet parent I talked to this morning, when you go to the vet. And they're putting your dogs on pharmaceuticals that don't make any sense. They're just in case.
It sounds to me like that somebody that is asking a question like that doesn't want to be held responsible for anything that goes wrong with their dog.
I think there's a fear, of course. People are like, I don't want to not recognize.
If you can't see something wrong, if there's nothing obvious to you that's wrong, there's nothing wrong. The vet's not going to, I mean, they may look and search and poke and prod until they find something they could contrive into something being wrong. But how is somebody that doesn't live with your dog, doesn't know your dog, doesn't have any idea of what goes on in your dog's life going to be able to tell better than you if there's something wrong with your dog? That's just silly.
Well, because let me just give you,
people want to do blood tests and get all those numbers and all that kind of stuff. And all that's, none of that stuff means anything. None of it's accurate. None of it tells you, there's no proof that any of those numbers even measure what they tell you it measures. There's absolutely zero evidence that any of that means anything. There's been correlations over the years made between certain numbers and certain issues, but you know, there's also 40% of dogs with a high liver enzyme have blah, 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 blah. Well, what about the other 60% that have high liver enzymes that don't have anything wrong? I mean, They're meaningless. They're pointless.
So, you know, we don't talk about those 60% because that would skew the.
Yeah,
that would skew everything.
Exactly. I mean, they don't. There's not anything that a vet can tell you that I can think of that. I mean, if there's something wrong with your dog, you're going to know.
Okay. Well, let's take this example because this is one I hear a lot. Folks are going in just for a teeth cleaning. Then they do blood work. Then they say, uh-oh, my dog's in stage one, stage two, stage three. Staging, guys, is just ridiculous, number one. But stage one, stage two of kidney failure. I hear that all the time. So
stop getting blood work. I mean.
All right. Well, let's just say that they do get the blood work.
I know. A lot of places make you do blood work.
They do.
Before they'll do anesthesia, which they say makes it safer, but you know, the dog's going to die on the table. It's going to die on the table, whether it had blood work or not.
Right. So here's the question, Niels. Kidney disease. What would a pet parent see? First of all, you need to get off kibble food, period, if you don't want kidney disease. You need to stop putting toxins in his body.
Kidney issues are usually from a lack of moisture and from inappropriate, hard to digest, poor quality proteins, which would be things like cardboard and corn gluten and all that other crap that they put in kibble. If you ask 10 different vets, you get 12 different answers as to what a blood panel would look like for a dog with kidney disease. And then putting it into a different stage, that's just like closing your eyes and throwing a dart. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, and the question that I have to ask my pet parents, right? Because they may be on a raw diet. Okay. Then they go and do teeth or whatever they're going to do. And then they get a blood test and then they come back in and they go, I need to change up my diet because my dog's, you know, got this, you know, kidney disease. And my question is, what else would you feed other than a easily digestible, high moisture, pure raw diet? What else would you feed?
Yeah, exactly. There's really nothing to change.
Right.
And so, that whole reducing protein when they have quote unquote kidney disease is a total fallacy. And a lot of vets will even tell you that. Some conventional vets will even tell you that now. But you know, that doesn't processing proteins doesn't become a problem until they're about ready to die, until they just won't eat anymore. So you know, the problem is the quality of the protein, which would be raw versus stuff that's in kibble, or the processed commercial fresh food that mm-hmm. is like a bologna or something, some sort of a lunch meat. That's what all that stuff is.
Yeah. Boar's head's pretty bad for people. Lunch meat. Boar's head. All the preservatives in it. Yeah, but so exactly. I'm like, you know, the next question would be, what else do the kidneys have to filter out, folks? What else? Let's think about it. What are the kidneys doing?
Yep.
What do they have to filter out? Is there any possibility that there's a toxin? There's a toxin going in causing the issue, and we're going in, and then you're kind of focusing
and
on a protein.
Changing the only thing that's right.
Right. Why? It's that, let's look over here. Don't look over here. Let's look over here. Right? Yeah. So this is a real disconnect, and I don't know how to make those two come together, because I'm telling you, Niels, if one thing ticks off our pet parents, it's when we point out the toxins that you've been given for years, the toxins that are recommended, the toxins that are causing the issue that our pet parents believe they have to put in their body. And I'm like, just like what you said, this is the cleanest thing you're doing. This is the thing that they were born to eat. Why are we not making that connection?
Yeah, I don't know. Indoctrination. But I mean, I had a, and we probably talked about this before, but when I had my aha moment, I never even, it was like in an instant. And I'm like, gosh, I'm an idiot. And I have never looked back. Not at all.
You know, when I started feeding raw, I didn't even have an issue. It was just,
I didn't either. My dogs were fine. Well, supposedly they were fine, you know, but within 2 weeks they looked completely different. I'm like, holy cow.
Right. I mean, I think Doc was my dachshund, maybe 2 or 3. I had somebody had found him and I took him. And when that, and I can't remember his name, I just remember the dog's name was Trevor. When he told me about Raw and what had happened with his dog with commercial food, it wasn't like I had to go research everything in the world at the time. I remember.
Like, it's like, boom, something snaps in your brain. It was like, oh, well, yep. That's obvious. Why didn't I think of it? Right.
Right. Right. And I just switched. And that was back, yeah. You know, 20, over 24 years now. So yeah. And then you have to think, and I do think, hopefully, I don't know, hopefully that the last 3 years have shown us that the toxins that the pharmaceutical companies want us to put in our bodies are not going to help us. And I'll be danged, Niels. I think that they have upped their advertising on all types of medications, right? I just see it constantly. It's like, you got this problem, take this drug, this problem, take this drug. It's not, get outside, get in the sun, stop processed foods, make sure your water's right, you know, eat this, you know, you never hear that. It's just take a dadgum pill.
Yeah.
Or a shot.
Yeah.
Hey, you.
They're trying to kill us.
Were you in Dr. Cowan's session today?
This morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was kind of only halfway listening because I was looking at something else on the computer, but I was there.
You were there. So this is gonna kind of cause people's heads to turn. Did you hear his talk on? And I've only heard a portion of it. I need to.
Oh,
go back.
From yesterday. The water one.
No, not the water one. This is the oxygen versus the charge. Is oxygen?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, he's been kind of hitting to that for a while, and I think Gerald Pollack wrote a paper that's still in review, and he can't really give any details until it's published. So he's been kind of coy about what he's said, just because from a legality standpoint, he can't really say much. But yeah, the whole oxygen thing and blood and well, and he told us about that study where they took all those dogs and drained all their blood, replaced it with seawater, and the dogs were actually better than they were with the blood.
Right, because it has to do with the charge.
Has to do with the charge and the, and not anything to do with quote-unquote electrons, because those aren't real either. So, and a lot of people will say, oh my gosh. A lot of people probably turned off right there and it's like, these people are idiots. But
right. Because I'm like, that's a big jump. Big
atomic theory is a theory. It's never been, just like cell theory, it's never been proven. And there's, you know, 18, 20 different models for cell structure. None of them have been proven. They just kind of picked one and went with it. You know, there's, and the one that the lipid bilayer model has been actually disproven from multiple aspects, but you know, people still use it. And
well, I thought so. what was interesting that he said that I gleaned from that talk was about how scientists do this. So so-called scientists, there's a theory, and it doesn't make sense. So they come in with some sort of weird, you know, here's how this works. And then when it's disproven at a certain time, 10 years later or however later, then they come up with some other ridiculous reasoning.
Yeah, or they just add on to it and say, oh, well, yeah, it's like that, except in this particular case or something ridiculous like.
And I think what is so evident about when you look at what Weston A. Price Institute, Tom Cowan, Kaufman, Sam and Mark Bailey. Is it Mark? Is that her husband, Mark? Yeah, Sam and Mark.
And yeah, they've got a new book. Doing a webinar with them today too.
Well, they've got a new book.
The book. Yeah.
And The Last Pandemic is the new book that they've got out. And Dr. Cowan has asked everybody if they would buy that book. What is amazing about that entire group is that they really do research outside of the norm. And so they're coming up with all the stuff that causes people's head to spin.
Well, and they go to the original, you know, like all papers are supposed to, all statements are supposed to be referenced by something, by previous work that shows that that statement is true, right?
Right.
Well, people either don't do that anymore, or there's, if you go back to, if you trace it all the way back, this is the whole virology thing, all the way back to the original, mm-hmm. It doesn't say at all what it's been referenced as saying.
Right.
So
I was listening to him the other day, and there was a research paper that was supposed to have photos.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, there are no photos. There are drawings that somebody has concocted, but there's no photos. So he's always looking at the method, right? The method section. Yep. How did you come up with this information and tracing that back? And he's just like, I don't know how anybody could believe this, because it's like a clown show. I think he might have said that. Yeah. But he was like, there's no photos. These are drawings, and people just, you know, tend to, well, they don't know how to read research papers, Niels. That's a problem. Right. And that's what they're betting on.
There's definitely an art and a trick to reading research papers. It's not easy. And most people just read the abstract and the conclusions. And most people don't know how statistics work and how to set up a legitimate experimental design that gives you any legitimate answers or anything like that. People don't understand that. You can, you know, you can quote a statistic in a way that leads you to believe one thing when it in reality is saying something else.
Well, think about what happened during COVID. So it's increased 100%. Well, from what, 1 to 2?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you think that's a huge number, and you're like, you know, there was one person and now there's two. Okay. That's not really very big, right? So you're right.
Yeah, out of like 50,000. So, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it's that whole relative risk versus real risk. And they will, depending on what the numbers are, go one way or the other. And sometimes within a paper, they'll switch from one back and forth from one to the other just to make something sound a certain way. So it's kind of like the ingredient splitting on a label and on a bag of kibble. You know, corn may be in there 5 or 6 different places, because if they do it that way, it can be further down the list and you can put the quote unquote meat as the beginning. Whereas if you were to take the entirety of the corn, it would be 20% more than anything else in there.
Right.
You know, and AFCO has let industry rename certain things so that it's not obvious what it is. Like, you know, it may be corn gluten and it's listed as maltodextrin or something, and you know, or some made up word. I think they make words up too. So, you know, it's totally misleading, and basically, if you want to be real about it, it's criminal.
Yeah. Yep. It is criminal, especially what's going on right now with, you know, and it's died down, Niels, this information about Purina and Heels and Royal Canin and Taste of the Wild. I mean, I don't know. I'm not on those Facebook groups because they drive me insane.
Just I can't stand them either. But I bet some people went ahead and took the hush money.
Well, you mean in lieu of getting death threats?
not those people, the people with the sick dogs.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
because the two that are at the tip of that are not going to back down.
Right.
The two that I know of that are at the tip of that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, guys, I don't think.
But yeah, they are getting death threats. That's for sure. If that tells you anything.
I don't think that we're going to beat Big Pharma. I don't think we're going to beat Big Pet Food. We are not going to beat them. Because they're so huge. So what we have to do is be aware. Right? Be aware of the psychological games. Be aware of the ingredient splitting. Be aware of the marketing. That's the only thing that we can do, I think, because they are so big and they are playing dirty. And people have had their tires slit. People have had their lives threatened. They've had dead dogs put on their porches. They've had a lot of scare tactics so that they will stay quiet if there's a big voice. And I saw where it was a big voice out there, big voice, big Facebook group, and then all of a sudden, quiet. And I was like, what the heck just happened? No recall, no nothing. And yet, you have a raw dog food company out there. Any real dog food is going to have bacteria, right? It's pass or fail. Salmonella's got how many different strains? It doesn't matter if it's not pathogenic. So you look at a two-tier system, it's in the dog food world. There's no going in. Well, let me say this. I hear, correct me if I'm wrong, that on those brands that I was telling you about that all these dogs have died, that they went in and tested the kibble for Salmonella and E. coli. The issue is that I think we all think it's an additive or a miscalculation on a synthetic somewhere. So yeah. They're not going to find, they don't want that to come out. But I'm just saying.
They don't know what to look for because they don't know what the, you know, you can't just do a test and say, oh, it's this. You have to look specifically for one thing or another.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but they're not looking very hard. But my point is this.
That's true too, because it took them forever to find a lab that didn't have a conflict of interest that would even do a fairly honest test, right? Dogs don't die of bacteria. It doesn't happen.
That's the narrative.
I don't care if it is a quote unquote pathogenic strain. That's not a real thing either. Dogs don't die of that kind of that doesn't kill dogs. Has nothing to do with anything. You can, I mean, like you said, dogs eat poop. Dogs eat roadkill.
But Neely,
dogs eat gross, nasty, disgusting stuff because dogs are scavengers. That's what they do.
How come they don't have somebody like a Tom Cowan investigating that BS and really proving that BS?
Well, think about what Brady says. I mean, you know, Mars, the candy company, produces the majority of kibble and they own the majority of the vet clinics in the country. So it's just like pharma and vaccines. That's the gateway drug. You vaccinate somebody and you have a customer for life because they're going to be damaged and sick and going to have to take all these other drugs that you that you're producing. So, you know, they have, it's a classic fox guard in the hen house, if not even more severe than that. You own the food companies and you own the vets. So how do you think that's going to end?
Yeah.
a candy company.
Mm-hmm. That's the game. That's the game, folks. Right? It's like owning both sides of a war.
Right.
Financing both sides of a war.
Exactly, don't we?
You know?
The good guy always loses.
Like, doesn't matter. I'm going to win either way. You know?
That's right.
Yeah, so it's just I don't know. I don't know. It's getting tougher, Neil. It's getting tougher. On one hand, you've got more new pet parents coming over, right? They're figuring out my dog's not getting any better. And they're just on a bunch of pharmaceuticals, right? They're figuring that out and they're coming over. However, they're coming over with a lot of fears. And so that are unsubstantiated. That's the issue, right?
And a lot of misinformation.
Right, right. So it gets tougher. And this is one reason that your services are so valuable to folks is because you've got two decades behind you. You've got, you know, over 40 certifications in all different types of modalities of health. And we work with you, especially with out of the box folks that are really looking at research papers, that are looking at old narratives and tracing it back and figuring out this is terribly flawed. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I always encourage people who have so much fear, who have a dog that's not getting better, who have, you know, tough cases or ingrained narratives in their head to come work with you at wholeanimalwellness.com, because that's what you do. That's what you specialize in. And you can help people unwind this ridiculousness and save your pet. You know, I just did a real simple podcast last week, and it came out of Billinghurst's book, but it basically said, if you want to age your pet, you want to age your pet and you want to cause disease, it's easy. It's easy. Yeah. You just keep feeding cooked food. You keep feeding a limited, you know, choice, like one protein. You keep feeding processed foods. Yeah, you're going to age your pet. And that is what we would call premature aging. He calls it something different in the book, but you're accelerating the death of your pet. You're accelerating disease in your pet. And he said, the choice is clearly yours, but this is what is happening. If you want to go down the convenience road, that's fine. Just know that you are, well, he didn't say it's fine. We don't say it's fine. You're accelerating chronic disease. You're accelerating premature aging. And we're all going to die. Your dogs are going to die. I'm going to die. You're going to die. We're all dying. But
that's right.
Do we need to die? Do we need to suffer first? Do we need to have chronic disease? Do we need to cut time off of our lives that shouldn't have been cut off because we simply wanted convenience or we didn't want to hear something outside of the mainstream narrative?
I know.
Choice is yours.
I know, exactly.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. It was really interesting. But Niels, I mean, the work you do is so incredibly valuable to our pet parents and anyone that has a dog, okay, that is just suffering, and they are suffering, with chronic itching, chronic allergies, chronic picky digestive, you know, that you can say they're picky eaters. It's probably because they don't feel good, or digestive issues.
Or they've been trained to be that way.
Right.
That's usually the case.
Right? And he said something in his book that I pointed out on that podcast. It was like, he makes the decision for his dogs to be healthy. And therefore, they don't get trained to want something else, right? There's never going to be a moment that Lozzie's going to get a puppuccino, any kind of a Home Depot treat, any type of a processed food or a cooked food. Now, cooked food, look, every now and then I've got some steak left, right? Or I've got something that I eat. Yeah, she can lick the plate and have that. That's no big deal. But I'm not going to cook her food. I'll warm it up with warm water. You know, she doesn't have a chance to try to train me the other way.
And you're certainly not going to hand feed her if she doesn't feel like eating one day.
Yeah, maybe she's just not hungry. And I'm like, okay, let's go for a hike. Let's go for a walk.
Yeah.
I mean, she literally knocked me down today to get her food. I mean, this dog, I don't understand dogs that don't want to eat. So what'd she have today? She had, I think she had a beef tripe PMR and maybe a turkey HVM. She had a duck head and a couple of sardines.
Mine had, they had like the butt ends of some asparagus and Brussels sprouts, and then couple of them had lamb PMR, and a couple of them had, I ground up some turkey necks the other day. A couple of them had turkey necks with a dollop of the, I think it was the beef organs.
Nice.
That you have. The, nice. Yeah.
Hey, Brussels sprouts don't make your dogs fart.
I don't know.
They make me fart. I love them.
I like them too.
I've never had this question. And it reminded me when you said asparagus, because I automatically thought asparagus pea. Now, I actually have two questions. If you give your dogs asparagus, can you smell?
I don't know.
You're like that down there?
I don't stick my nose up their ass and smell it. So I don't know.
Okay. All right. So somebody had this question. I've never had this question in my life. Why does my dog's pee smell like green tripe when I feed green tripe?
I don't know. Like, maybe it's stuck in your nose.
I was like, I feed a ton of tripe. I know that Neely feeds a ton of tripe. I don't know that I've ever.
Sometimes their breath will smell like tripe little bit later. But
yeah.
I, to be quite honest, I've never smelled my dog's pee.
Well, you got little, you got little bitty dogs you have to get down, but all dogs pee on the ground. So I don't know. I don't know how you would smell that, but that's just what they said. And they did say the breath smelled like green tripe, and that freaked them out. They didn't like it. So I think they were going to trade out. And I was like, just give it a chance.
Get over it. Don't stick your nose in their mouth until it's gone. I mean, come on. Why does your dog have to suffer because you're like, ew, about something? That's silly.
I don't know. That's why I don't have kids, because, you know, like, I don't want to change their diapers. That's terrible.
Well, but you're not making somebody suffer because you don't want to change the diaper, right?
I don't know.
You're not making the kid run around in a dirty diaper.
Right. No, some of these pet parents, I mean, I bet when they first became, I mean, not pet parents, real parents, when they first had babies and like that baby had like the greenest, runniest poop and they had to change that diaper, or the child projectile vomited all over them or something like that, I bet they just hurled.
People that think that's cute. Oh, look, Johnny's first poop. And I'm like, oh, God.
It's coming from people who haven't had, we have not had kiddos. But my point is they get used to it. By the third kid, they're like, no, they're eating lunch while that's happening.
I know, right?
Same way with dogs. Same way with tripe. If you just give it some time. You know, I'm not saying that there's not some times that I've opened it up and like, what is that? And it's like, oh, it's tripe. Okay, I get you. But
I just, I don't know. I don't even smell the truck. I mean, I smell it, but it's not, I don't think it's offensive at all. I have had, I think that the blends that have tripe in it already smell stronger than just plain tripe.
Yeah. Like All-Star, Bully, Beginner's Choice. Those are, yeah. Those are strong. Yeah. And it may
I
be,
I don't know why, but,
maybe yeah. The double protein, because there's double proteins. There's chicken and beef and tripe in the All-Star.
Yeah,
then,
maybe.
Then you look at Beginners and you've got beef,
fish,
tripe,
and
fish.
Yeah. I don't know. Tripe just doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Not after this long. All right, everybody, listen, get over to wholeanimalwellness.com, wholeanimalwellness.com. That's Neely's website. Now, you can reach Neely very easily from the Learning Center. Go to the expert section, or as you scroll down, you're going to see sign up with the nutritionist. That's Neely. And I would get over there and work with her. It's well worth your time. She can do a lot of digging and get you on the right path so that you are not spending tons of money, right? Trying to figure things out. Like you're feeding kibble and you just keep trading the kibble, and then you do an allergy test and you just keep trading the kibble, and then you do antibiotics and then they get worse, and then you do allergy meds and they get worse. They get
the more that you do, the harder it is to fix. So cut your losses and stop.
Stop it right now. Stop it right now.
Stop spending all that money and making your dog worse.
Right. Get over to rawdogfoodandcompany.com. You can get your dog on a species appropriate diet today. The transition is not that difficult, guys. It's super easy. Does not matter what kind of disease we're dealing with. Does not matter what type of animal. They're all different. I can't say exactly which one your dog's going to love. I don't know, but I can tell you that my dog loves them all.
He finds those too.
So I don't know. But we can help you. Get over to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where your pet's health is our business. And what, Niels?
Friends, don't let friends feed kibble.
That's right. Oh, and I got one announcement. The rabies webinar is ready. The rabies webinar is ready. Watch for that. It's coming up very, very soon. Okay.
I'm excited about that. I want to see it.
Yeah, that's going to make everybody's head spin. All right, everybody. Thanks so much. We'll see you soon. Bye, Niels.
Bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.